Welcome to the word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We draw ever closer to Christmas. Daleville Christian Church has offered a Christmas Eve service for over 40 years. This year is the second Christmas in this pandemic, and now the new variant is making some of us think twice about our plans. We do not anticipate a large crowd at Christmas Eve. At the same time, we continue all our precautions that we observe on Sunday morning. There will be a video service and audio service available from the website all day on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. Our hearts and prayers go out to those who grieve the season and those hospitalized and for all the helpers. Please continue to pray for them. Our affirmation of faith for today from Philippians chapter 2. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul outlines in many ways why it is we celebrate Christmas and what it is we celebrate at Christmas. He wrote, "Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The reading of God's word for today, this fourth Sunday in the Advent season, is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 7 through 20. Speaking of Mary, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Now, I don't know for certain when you look at the Christmas reports, when you read about the birth of Jesus or hear it each year or when you sing about it, do you see yourself at all in that drama? My guess is that few people see themselves as Joseph or Mary or the wise men, and certainly never see themselves as God's messenger, the angels delivering God's messages. We hate King Herod and what King Herod did and what King Herod wanted to do. That leaves us pretty much with the shepherds. We might see ourselves as more like the shepherd's role in the celebration of the Jesus birth. Fair enough. I mean, as I've noticed, you and I are not left with many choices after we eliminate thinking of ourselves more like Mary or Joseph. Shepherd's a good image, though, right? King David was a shepherd. Shepherds are basically farmers, workers in the agricultural industry, and we respect and appreciate our farmers, don't we? And I don't want to shock you, but you might not be as close to those shepherds as you might think. Those shepherds we see as noble and vigilant, common laborers. Shepherds are, after all, the models for the elders of Jesus' churches, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, let's start with one author, editor, Luke. I say editor because I always remind us that Luke had other sources in front of him when he wrote his two volumes on Jesus and the church in Luke's Gospel, Volume 1, and the Book of Acts, Volume 2. And we have been noticing this season Luke's reports, and we are shown angels, God's messengers. God's messenger appeared to Zechariah, a priest. God's messenger appeared to Joseph, a righteous man, in a dream. A messenger of God appeared to Mary, Joseph's fiancée. Luke began chapter 2 of Luke's gospel right after reporting on Jesus' birth, verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. If we were listening along and the reader gets to verse 8, you might say to yourself, shepherds? What have they got to do with anything? Are they going to bring a meal in for the Holy Family? Are they going to bring in some wool for bedding or warmth for the Holy Family? Well, you already know, since this isn't the first time you've heard this, the shepherds were not there to help out or to supply or give anything or bring anything to the Holy Family. And I say that in full knowledge that every year we hear Christmas songs like Little Drummer Boy or the song A Virgin Unspotted, wherein the shepherds are described as sad, or in the first Noel we sing that the shepherds saw the Christmas star when Luke tells us about the shepherds but makes no mention of the star. The star is told of in Matthew's gospel. In my understanding, the shepherds may well have seen the star, but only the trained eye of the wise men, these stargazers, could discern the star as special, with special tidings of a royal birth. And I don't know if any of you know the German or Silesian carol, which depicts the shepherds as quite musically gifted with flutes and bagpipes. I read a few very clever sermon interpretations on these Bible verses in Luke. These pastors and writers wanted to say that the shepherds were special shepherds and that they were raising special sheep. Very clever. But if they were special, why didn't Luke mention it? And even if they were special to us, because you, clever pastor, noticed it, even if we might consider the shepherds and their sheep special, would they have been just as special in 6 BC? And was the so-called specialness recognized? How? In what form? Were they more highly paid? Were they more intelligent? Were they schooled? Could they read Hebrew? Did anyone care? I know, I ask a lot of questions. But all of my questions suggest and even cast doubt on the specialness of these shepherds. Pastor David Jeremiah understood in his book, Why the Nativity? His book states that probably the shepherds were held in lower esteem than we American Christians think. But there's a case to be made from Luke himself. Luke uses the word poor more than the other gospel writers. Luke uses the word humble more than the other writers. Mary used the word humble twice, saying of our Lord, "For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And a few verses later, chapter 1, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." So the shepherds are probably more nobodies than somebodies. You know, you can't go to synagogue like you're supposed to if you're a shepherd when you're moving sheep for feeding and watering day after day and right through the Sabbath day. So the shepherds are not good churchgoers. For these reasons, Luke, who has materials in front of him to work with, Luke makes certain to include what happened to those shepherds the night that Jesus was born. And the way Luke tells us about the shepherds follows this idea. You see, Luke was a Gentile, maybe writing for a Gentile world, his Gentile congregation. The Gentiles have heard a lot of these words that the messenger of God uses. "I want you to hear some words carved and written for Roman citizens to read and hear concerning Caesar." Now, Luke told us that it was Caesar Augustus that got Joseph back to Bethlehem because Caesar got a new tax. And you know that taxes are always harder on the poor. That's been true no matter what kind of government you have or in what century. Okay, listen to words used about Caesar. "What about the nature of the emperors whose every virtue outshone human nature, who, through the greatness of his rule and his valor, became the first to bear the title Augustus?" Augustus was a title conferred on this Caesar by the Roman Senate. Augustus is from the Latin word meaning to increase and can be translated as the illustrious one. It was a title of religious authority rather than political authority. The writer went on to say it was because the whole world voted him honors. Temples, gateways, vestibules, and colonnades bear witness to this. So let's hear one of those building inscriptions from ancient Asia Minor concerning Caesar Augustus. "The most divine Caesar Augustus we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. He has surpassed all the benefactors who came before him. The birthday of the god Augustus Caesar has been for the whole world the beginning of good news." That was written in stone about Caesar Augustus. And yes, the inscription has the same word as our Bibles, good news. This is what Augustus wrote of himself, which was also to be posted in a prominent place. "I restored peace to all the provinces of Gaul and Spain and to Germany, to all that established in the Alps." So did Caesar Augustus consider himself Prince of Peace? So Luke began his Jesus birth report with these words in chapter 2. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke, in being sure to remind us that this took place in Augustus's reign, Luke is making sure to suggest that the Romans have got it all wrong. The Romans have the wrong guy. Luke is going to tell us who has the real good news. Luke will let us know who the real peacemaker is. Luke will tell us who the real divine one is, whose every virtue outshone human nature. It isn't Caesar Augustus. It's Jesus of Nazareth, son of David. So the beautiful people of the Roman Empire, the movers and shakers, would proclaim that Caesar was Savior. But Luke told us, no, Caesar is not Savior. But here is who is your Savior, declared by God's own messengers to the shepherds. To you is born this day in the city of David, a city of the Hebrews, not a Roman city, not a Roman town. To you is born this day a Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One of the Jews. One commentator suggested that the best way to describe the shepherds is to call them cowboys. Uncouth, living out of doors on the prairie most of the year, haven't bathed since before the sheep drive, and can't wait to blow their money in town when they get paid. Yes, the shepherds were closer to nobodies than somebodies. Jesus even said, and you can read it in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, I've been sent to the poor, to the sick, to the maimed, to the blind, the real blind, and those who live in darkness, those who are spiritually blind. And Jesus would say, it's the sick who need a doctor. And Jesus had come to heal. And the nobodies, Luke showed us, the nobodies got the most wonderful news in the world ever. Gentiles had been calling Caesar Savior for years, but the messenger of the living God showed up where shepherds were gathered, and as we have seen before, it's always scary when the spiritual world breaks into the material world, and Luke put it this way, the shepherds feared a great fear. They weren't just afraid, they fear a great fear. That's an exponential fear. So the messenger of God, who is called Angel of the Lord, and Luke's Gentiles had heard of angels before, other kinds of angels from other places, because the Greeks had heard that. Luke says, this angel is of the living God, the Hebrew God. Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. The messenger was saying, You don't even have to take my word for it. You can go see the Savior Messiah yourself. And you know what happened next? Well, there were lots of angels singing and celebrating, but then the nobodies decided, since they'd been so blessed with what the Lord had revealed to them, they decided to go see for themselves. And then Luke wrote, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The shepherds didn't spread their own impressions. They spread what they were told. Today in media, people are always asked, and how do you see this? How do you feel about this? The shepherds would have said it didn't matter what they thought about the baby. It's what they've been told about the baby. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, verse 18. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Those shepherds thanked God. Caesar Augustus did not get any thank yous. Caesar and the empire didn't provide anything for the shepherds except more taxes. God was glorified and praised for what was told them, and they saw it with their own eyes. It was all the messenger said it was, the messenger from God who brought God's plan to their attention, because after all, it was God's plan for them. Now the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they didn't have a way to be saved for the shepherds and the sick and the lame and the poor. The nobodies. God did. God did have a way for the nobodies and the sick and the lame and the poor to be saved. It happened. It was happening. And it's still happening today. Amen.